The Headless Horseman by Thomas Mayne Reed. Chapter 1. The Burnt Prairie. On the Great Plain of Texas, about 100 miles from the town of San Antonio, the hot sun was shining from a bright blue sky. Under the golden light appeared a few wagons covered with snow-white canvas. They were slowly moving across the prairie in the midday heat. The owner of the wagons was Woodley Poindexter, a sugar planter from Louisiana. Mr. Poindexter had lost most of his money and had left his home on the Mississippi River. He was going to a new home in Texas together with his family and black slaves. Mr. Poindexter himself was riding behind the wagons. He was a tall, thin man of 50, with a proud and severe face. He was wearing simple but rather expensive clothes and a straw hat. Two horsemen were riding beside the planter, one of them on his right, the other on the left. The first one was his son Henry, a young man of 20. He was dressed in a sky-blue cotton shirt and trousers of the same material. There was a Panama hat on his head. Henry's face was open and cheerful. The other horseman was Henry's cousin. Captain Cassius Calhoun, that was his name, was an ex-officer of volunteers. He was wearing a dark blue military suit and a cap. Calhoun was 6 or 7 years older than Henry. There was also a carriage with two passengers. One was a young lady with the whitest skin. The other was a black girl. The young lady was the daughter of Woodley Poindexter, Louise. The black girl was her maid. Suddenly the wagon stopped. The worried manager came up to Woodley Poindexter. "What is it, Mr. Sansom?" asked the planter. "There's been a fire in the prairie. The grass is burnt and the ground is black." "What of that, Josh Sansom?" asked the planter's nephew. "How stupid of you to raise such a row about nothing." "But, Captain Calhoun," protested the manager, "how do we find the way?" "Find the way? What are you talking about? We haven't lost it, have we?" "I'm afraid we have, sir. The wheel tracks are no longer seen. They've burnt out along with the grass." "Can't we cross a burnt piece of prairie without wheel tracks? We'll find them again on the other side." "Yes," said Sansom, "if there is any other side. I don't see it." "Start moving," shouted Calhoun. "Keep after me." "Well, nephew," said the planter, "you know best." "Don't be afraid, uncle. I've made my way out of a worse fix than this. Drive on. Keep after me." The wagons of Woodley Poindexter started moving again. They made a mile or more, and then stopped. "Have you lost the way, nephew?" said the planter, riding rapidly up to Calhoun. "No, uncle, not yet," said the captain with less confidence. "I've only stopped to have a look. We should go in this direction, down that valley. Let them drive on. We're going all right. I'll answer for it." The mules went down the hill, then along the valley, then up another hill. An hour later, the travelers saw wheel tracks and hoof marks of the animals again. "Our own tracks," said Calhoun. "What do you mean, Cassius?" "You don't say we've lost the way again?" asked the planter. "Yes, uncle, bad luck. We've made a couple of miles for nothing," said his nephew. He felt bad. It was his fault that the travelers had been left without a real guide. The ex-captain of volunteers had been rude to their guide, and the man refused to go with them. "What should we do now?" asked the planter. "We may have to spend the night on the burnt prairie, and we don't have enough water for the animals. How can we find the way?" No one had an answer to this question. Another 10 minutes was spent in deep moral and physical gloom. Then suddenly the cheerfulness returned. Everyone saw a horseman who was riding in the direction of the wagons. It was a miracle. "He's coming this way, isn't he?" asked the planter. "Yes, father," replied Henry. The young man took his hat and waved it. He also began shouting to attract the horseman. But the stranger had already seen the wagons. He soon arrived on the spot occupied by the planter and his companions. He was a handsome young man of not more than 25, with a noble and friendly face. He was dressed in a picturesque Mexican costume, a short velveteen jacket, trousers laced along the seams, and leather boots with spurs. On his head he had a black sombrero decorated with gold. "A Mexican," whispered Henry. "So much the better," replied Poindexter in the same tone of voice. "He'll be more likely to know the road." "No," said the stranger with a protesting smile. "Anything but that. Have you lost your way?" "We have, sir," said Poindexter, "and we hope you will be so kind as to direct us." "Not much kindness in that. By chance I saw your trail as I was crossing the prairie. I saw you were in the wrong direction. I have come to set you right." "It is very good of you. We shall be most thankful, sir. My name is Poindexter, Woodley Poindexter of Louisiana. I bought a house on the Leona River near Fort Inge. We hope to get there before night. Can we do this?" "Yes, if you follow my instructions." "I'm sorry, Mr. Poindexter, I cannot stay. I need to get a very important document to the fort. Go straight forward for about 5 miles. Always keep the sun on your right shoulders. You will then see the top of a very tall tree, a cypress. Go directly to this tree. It stands on the bank of the river. You can cross the river there." The young horseman was about to ride off when something made him stop. It was a pair of lovely dark eyes. They were watching him with interest through the curtains of the carriage. He looked at the beautiful girl with admiration. "You are very kind, sir," said Poindexter. "The sun will surely show us. I'm afraid it will not. Look at the sky. There are clouds in the north." "Stay," he continued after a pause. "I have a better plan still. Follow the trail of my lasso." He took his lasso from the saddle and threw the loose end to the ground. Then he said goodbye and rode off. The lasso left a clear line on the ground. "A very curious fellow," said the planter, as they stood watching the horseman. "I would like to know his name." "A very conceited fellow, I should say," said Calhoun. He had noticed the glance sent by the stranger in the direction of the carriage. "As to his name, I don't think it matters much. It mightn't be his own he would give you. Texas is full of such people, who take new names when they get here." "Come, Cousin Cash," protested young Poindexter. "You are unfair to the stranger. He looks, in fact, a gentleman." "A gentleman? Unlikely. I never saw a man in a Mexican dress who was a gentleman."